Okay, so let's just do a short thing. Chazal manifest one of their, or express one of their very common themes or methodologies in their interpretation of the latter half of this parsha, where they tell you who are these Nisiim, right, the Nisiim for which we hear of in the latter half of this parsha, right? Who are these leaders?
The people from the first.
So no, not those. No, from. Right. So they say they are the leaders from Mitzrayim. Right. These are part of that. Right. That general. Or this general trend of Chazal to collapse the leaders, that the people who were set up as the intermediaries between the Mitzrim and the regular slaves. So, right, midrashically, this is something that Nechama Leibovich points out on this parsha, that this is one of the places where Chazal developed this idea, that they are, that the Mitzrim, when they minimized the amount of raw materials that they gave the Jews, but kept the quota the same, so they tried to get the intermediary Jews to enforce it, and the intermediate taskmasters, and beat the regular Jews if they didn't provide the quota of bricks. And the Jewish officers refused and instead took the beating themselves, but protected the lower on the social hierarchy Jew. And these are the people who therefore deserve to become the Nisiim. Now, there are different, right? Sometimes when Chazal collapse personalities, it's because they simply think that the Torah shouldn't be vague, and therefore there is a exegetical reason to assume that anybody that we meet, we've met before, especially if we don't know too much about them. And that's why we collapse personalities like, Shavuos is coming up, so we collapse Boaz and Ivtsan. Because Boaz is somebody we know about a lot. He has a book in which he's one of the main characters. It happens Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, and Ivtsan we know very little about, so they collapsed Boaz and Ivtsan. Sometimes, right, now that's not really sufficient to explain this methodological move, because, well,
oh, it's not clear in the earlier.
Yeah, thank you. Right, meaning because the story that they're collapsing it to is midrashic, so that doesn't help you very much. Right, they're not trying to. It's not like we know anything about those taskmasters. Right, they're nameless to begin with. This whole story. So what methodologically are they doing? So clearly, here the main point is moral. They're trying to teach you something, namely, what does it take for you to deserve greatness? And they're saying, well, someone who's willing to sacrifice and stand up for injustice and stand up for the people he's supposed to lead rather than take the privileges, right? One who sees leadership as a responsibility rather than a privilege, essentially, that's the person who's worthy of being a leader, right? That seems to be the simple moral lesson. But now, Nechama Leibovich talks about both of these in her piece, but unless I missed it, she didn't make this exact point, but I think this is the most fascinating point, is that once you have that, Chazal says something else about these leaders, which is, Chazal are actually quite critical of the leaders in Parshat Nasa, which is, they say, why is it that they're only bringing these things? Because they didn't jump to donate money to the Mishkan, because they said, we'll just make up the difference. And it turned out there was no difference. The Jews had paid everything, and then, so they felt really bad, and they needed to come up with something, so they got to bring everything they brought at the end of the Parsha, which was sort of at the end. Now, the thing that I think is interesting there is that Chazal, Kedarkam Bakodesh, following in Tanakh, don't think that people are monochromatic. They don't think that just because someone's good, even really good, right? Even you connect midrashic stories to them to tell you that these are the epitome of moral leaders, that doesn't mean they're perfect. And Chazal can say both things at the same time, just like the Torah can. Right? Moshe is really great, Manov Mikal Adam, but he also sins. Right? He also sins to the point where God doesn't let him into Eretz Israel. And the interesting thing is that even when Chazal are teaching you moral lessons, by, you know, making these midrashic moves, they are not, they follow, so to speak, the path laid out by Tanakh, and they have no, you know, they don't try to, in other midrashim they do, right? In some midrashim you find the opposite impulse, right? That good people always do good things, and therefore they minimize the sins of the avot, and maximize the avera of the evil people, right? Sometimes they're trying to maximize the tzidkus and highlight the tzidkus, which serves, I think, one educational purpose. But at least in this particular case, you actually get the opposite, which is they're willing to put these leaders on a pedestal and teach you something profound of what it means to deserve to be a leader. But at the same time, they're willing to criticize them. And you could also say that at some level, right, these things go together. Because on the one hand, you know, they recognize that to be a leader is to focus on taking care of those who they lead, on responsibility rather than privilege. But you could see how that might end up, right? Chazal don't say that these leaders were stingy. On the contrary, right, what do they say? They say that essentially, they were willing to cover the deficit, but I think implicitly, what are they doing? Right, they're underestimating those people, and sometimes that happens. Right, the more a leader, I'll take responsibility for you. I take responsibility for you. Right, I'll put my neck out on the line. Sometimes that leads to unwittingly, I don't know if infantilization is the word. That's a bit harsh, but underestimating how much people are good and independent themselves, and how much as leaders they're not going to have to make up the difference, right? And there's this complex dance where you have to, on the one hand, take responsibility and for the people you're leading, but on the other hand, that doesn't need to get to your head where you think I'm above them, right? I'm better than them, right? What can you possibly expect from them? So I'll express my responsibility towards them. But you know that expression was because they underestimated them, right? It's, you know, this was I think it was George Bush who came up with this, right? With the phrase of the, though it's a bit harsh again in this context, but it's still helpful for clarification. The soft bigotry of low expectations, right? Where sometimes leaders do that, right? Where I feel so responsible for you that I also forget to remember that just because I lead you and take responsibility for you doesn't mean that you aren't capable of extraordinary things. Right? And I think that those might go together in the complex picture that Chazal are painting. On the one hand, they're clearly great leaders. On the other hand, they shouldn't have underestimated people. Right? They should have realized that they are equal moral agents just like them. And if you don't jump in and be part of them and keep yourself apart and think that you're going to have to make up for their deficit because you don't quite understand how great they really are and how great the people are that you're leading, you're going to miss something in your leadership. And balancing those is part of the complexity that I think Chazal are trying to do by telling these multiple stories about these Nisim.